It must be an auspicious sign of the times that on the occasion some weeks ago when Ricky invited me to preach, without the blink of an eye, I spontaneously said yes. Later that day on the metro, I was not so sanguine as I realized I had not seen the set readings. Because usually Ricky would offer me a number of dates and I would deftly, to use a rugby term, kick the ball firmly into touch until I had seen the scripture readings. For while some texts are readily accessible even to a 2.5-year-old reader like myself, other texts can appear terrifyingly tough, obdurate, flint-like, refusing to part with even the least piece of nugget and wisdom. And as yet, I am not one of the Holy Spirit's brightest students. But I need not have worried, for today's readings explode like fireworks. They are as accessible as they are profound, as straightforward as they are complex. Rich layerings of truth on truth, designed to give us firm hope, increased faith, and an assurance of us being divinely overshadowed. The three readings this morning are rich in intertwining themes, like shafts of light ricocheting everywhere. Each this morning relating to one person of the Blessed Trinity. In Genesis, we see the Spirit of Father God, our Creator. In Mark, we encounter Jesus Christ, our Savior. While in Acts, we see God, the Holy Spirit, our Helper. Genesis, the book of beginnings, is the beginning of all beginnings. Father God, in the Spirit, brooding, hovering over the deep, the void, the chaos. And with his creative word, calling that which is not into being. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that it was good. God, the Creator, anticipating unfolding history, commences by dispelling primordial darkness, illuminating the void, and replacing chaos with order. Genesis is also what I call a book of seedings. The seeds of our God's great historical redemption plan nestles quietly for generations within its chapters and typologies, waiting for the fullness of time when the mystery hidden for generations would be revealed, when the light of Jesus, the Word, would enter space-time. Jesus, the very image of the invisible God, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. A mystery in which you and I, through faith, participate. What is the mystery? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. In the seed book of Genesis, we are introduced to many themes in seminal form which recur and grow in both clarity and substance. In just three short chapters in the seed book, we learn that God is the sole author of all that exists, that his omnipotence is reflected in the total effectiveness of his word to achieve his intention, that he created humanity in his image and likeness. And we discover also the cause of our propensity for sin and gain an insight into our relationship with evil. But we also discover the delicate seed of our salvation, imperceptibly rooting itself in the infallible intention of God. The promised seed of the woman, which would crush the head of evil and restore us to communion with our Father. In Mark's Gospel, there is also a new beginning heralded by John the Baptist. The promise made in Genesis generations earlier comes into being, reaching its fullness. The seed that crushes evil and death has arrived. Mark states that his work is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. The word beginning strongly echoing the opening word of John's gospel. John's in the beginning ranges through the vaults of eternity and is cosmic in its range and dimensions. But gently coming to earth and aligning itself quietly beside Mark's less dramatic beginning with the phrase, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." In both Gospels we see God the Word, God the Son, Jesus the true light emerge from the depths of the Jordan. Having sunk his sinlessness into the chaos of our fall from grace and the moral voids in our hearts. And as Jesus rises from the Jordan, God tears heaven open with the redeeming spirit of love, assures and confirms Jesus in his rescue mission before sending him headlong into a wilderness of conflict with the demonic prince of this world. Jesus, who knew no sin, is now on the journey to become our sin. It's easy to glance over Mark's succinct opening, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, without a pause or thought. But I sense there is more in this than a mere title. It contains seeds of wisdom for our quest for a deeper union with the Christ. And the clue may be in the word beginning. The word contains the possibility that the gospel itself is only the beginning of the good news of Jesus, suggesting the possibility that Mark's gospel is only the beginning of the story that initially drew us in. That the story does not end with Mark's final chapter, but continues beyond where his writing stops. For in truth, the gospel of the resurrected and ascended Jesus does continue and is continuing right to this very second through you and me. We are the outworkings of the gospel. We are the living word's work in progress. We are not yet where we should be, but we are not where we started out from. And this realization leads us neatly into Acts. The book of Acts is post-ascension, post-Pentecost, where we encounter God's new, dramatic, unprecedented policy of involving himself with us, corporately and individually. A hands-on God, so to speak, guiding us, supporting us, protecting us, his adopted children, and his joint heirs in Christ. For God now manifests himself in the Holy Spirit, actually indwelling, enlivening, transforming those who believe into Jesus for everything. The one Spirit now gifts us with transformative faith and transformative grace, steadily changing us from glory into glory. For now, when we look to Jesus, we see abounding grace, free grace. And when Jesus looks at us, he sees hearts of faith reaching and yearning for him. now on this orphaned planet, the true light of Genesis, of Mark, and of Acts shines on us, and through us draws people into the kingdom of God and of his Christ. For now, what God initiates in us, his grace maintains. What Jesus demands of us, Jesus supplies us with. On Ascension Day, Jesus gave us authority and a job description. Proclaim the gospel, baptize believers, cast out demons, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave us the power, the dynamite, to perform and accomplish these great exploits. And I have now, in bold application, written here with two smileys. This time of year is a time of beginnings. Imperceptibly, seeds stir in their resting places. The variety of seeds sown in us by the Holy Spirit through the intimacy of grace stirs in our desires, hopes, and aspirations. The gestating seed word sown by God into our mind, heart, and spirit will, with his enlivening breath, metamorphose in us, creating new growth, seeking fruition in us, as we submit in obedience to the husbandry of the Holy Spirit. So now, how do we appear through the lenses of our reading? From Genesis, where in our lives, loves, thoughts, and personality is there a void, a formless chaos? Have we a darkness over the deeps of our body, heart, mind, soul, and spirit? God, who loves us, is brooding, anticipating, hovering, waiting for us to be brave and say this January day, "Yes, Lord, let there be light." Light are locked rooms or obscure recesses with lingering suspicions and terrors. Light into our thawed deep freezes of rancid bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. God's light is good, for we are the people who dwelt in darkness too long, and upon us hath his light shined, and it is good for us to bask in it. In Mark, we have Jesus, the light and the word of life, sinking into our Jordan mire. His rising becomes our rising. He slams the sins that so easily beset us to his cross with such forceful love that we can now reckon ourselves dead to sin and are eons beyond condemnation. In the words of Martin Luther King, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Finally, in Acts, we realize that though we may know a lot about the things of God and about Jesus, we may not still be in Christ. This is an urgent worry. Personally knowing about Jesus is not the same as personally knowing Jesus. Our lives must be graced by relationship, not religion. The Ephesian disciples were there, but not yet quite there. They needed to progress further in understanding and experience the saving significance of Jesus' death and resurrection, be baptized into his name, and receive his Spirit before the fullness of God's blessings, fruits, and gifts could manifest in their lives. And now I have conclusion in bold with a smile. From Genesis, We can call on God. We can call on God's light to dispel our individual darkness. For Mark, we can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be our saving light and life giver. And from Acts, we can seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out, enabling us to gloriously enjoy enriching our lives and the lives of all those around us. And may the good Lord sow good seeds from this in us all. Amen.